Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God loves us and He speaks to us spirit to spirit, heart to heart. And He's mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, always working, always doing good to those who regard Him, who have faith in Him. One thing about the Lord our God, He's looking for sincerity. With sincerity, the Lord can do great things. People that love Him and they are sincere from the heart. And they love Him from the heart. And they're subject to Him. They obey Him. Those are three ingredients that God, that's where mighty people come from. And sometimes the way we process, you know, we put things in a category. One time the Lord said, how do you see what you're looking at? And in this message, you know, if you're focused on Jesus and you're learning His word and you're hearing Him out, see, we all have assumptions. And I want to, before I go further with that, I want to say this. And I want to use the Laodicean church, a lukewarm Christian, for an example. And I used to think that a lukewarm person was kind of like a lazy person that just didn't, you know, they didn't really delve into the things of God. And sometimes people process a lukewarm person as somebody that, you know, like I did, lazy, don't care, it could happen or not, you know. And then sometimes, you know, they also had reputation of doing good. So that shows you there's something. People that have reputation of being a Christian even, that mean they were doing something. They weren't lazy. So that kind of cancels that out. And in light of what Jesus said to the seven churches, the theme was love God and hate darkness. And He told every church, He started with whatever they were doing good. And He commended them for it. Then he said, but I have somewhat against you. And He told why. Now, the word of God will define what a lukewarm person is. And what a person that's cold or a person that's hot. And a person that's lukewarm. And I started looking into it. If a person has a reputation for being good and doing, you know, they're called the people of God, they were doing something. Even the Pharisees, they tithed mint and anise, you know, whatever that is, rule. But they kept up mess. And they didn't see Jesus. They were cold. But they had a reputation for being the people of God. They said, even Jesus said, you sit in Moses' seat. They have positions. So if you have any position, you're doing something. You're not just sitting there. You're up, you know, you're going about doing something. And some of the stuff they did was good. They wore phylacteries. They, you know, they had scriptures tied in cloth at the end of their garments. But they totally missed the point because they would pray for hours to be seen of men. They would make long prayers. And they did things to be seen of men. So, to the mind of a person that loves power, a person that's not powerful could be considered cold or lukewarm. To the mind of those who walk in love, people that refuse to walk in love could be considered lukewarm or cold-hearted. But to the, you know, Jesus said to those who, even those who received the word, you know, they had things going. They could tell that people were apostles when they were, you know, He said, there are those who said they're apostles and you found them to be liars. You know, they could tell that, but they had other problems. And the problem with satanic things, it grows in you. So the lukewarm person can be lukewarm for many reasons. And let's go back to the first church that Jesus addressed, chapter 2. He said, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. I know how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not. That's what I was talking about. And hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. So, but this thou hast, thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. You know, people that have power over the people. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, that sheds more light. They had a lot of things going. But what he had against them is that they left their first love. And what happens if you leave your first love? Something's going to happen to your sincerity. When something happens to that, something's going to happen to your obedience as well. And you're going to, and you're being pulled in the middle of cold and hot. From, you know, the elements that cause a person to be hot and the elements that cause a person to be cold. Lukewarm is in the middle. And it can be, it's not just laziness. It's not just apathy. It can be doing the will of God without the love of God. It can be fervently doing the will of God and even obeying God without the love of God. The Lord is showing us things so that we don't get leavened. He said, watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees and also the leaven of Herod. That's two things that's the church's responsibility to watch out for. These are the things that cause us to be lukewarm. King Saul, when we first met him, he was very industrious. He took matters all the way to the prophet. He was relentless about finding his father's donkeys. And God chose him to be king. And then when he was anointed, he turned into another man. But he started looking at the people. Fear started growing in his heart. And when he began to regard the people over God, that's why he became lukewarm. He became terrible. He became a murderer against David. He tried to javelin David, who is an ancestor of Jesus. You see how dangerous being lukewarm can be? He ordered Doeg, a man that's cold-hearted. See, Doeg is like the Christians that never had allegiance to God. Doeg was an Edomite. He didn't care about the things of God at all. It didn't bother him to kill. Even Saul's men wouldn't kill the priest. But Doeg, he did it without a flinch. And he was obeying King Saul. Lukewarm King Saul. When Saul first became king, he would not have done that. Something happened. This is why the Lord had me to see the things that I saw, as I described in other broadcasts. The problems that do exist. Sometimes people's love is changed. Sometimes they believe things the wrong way. And false training, false teaching. So the doctrines of devils, that sounds harsh. But I was watching, I love to listen to Timothy Alberino. He's a wonderful researcher, and he's like a Christian Indiana Jones. He goes to Peru. He goes where nobody wants to go and gets information. He's been to the Vatican. He's been. When I listen to his broadcast, And he's a young man. I don't think he's 40 years old yet. I don't know. But nevertheless, I thank God for people. When God gives people that see things through, that's important. You don't have to be old. You can be in your 20s and do that. You just have to have the dedication necessary to do it. And God will be with you. And anybody that can rely on the Lord and do things and learn to do things in his strength can do mighty works. But he said, he pointed out, and I highly recommend this broadcast. It was on YouTube. And he was talking about how he was on a radio, like a TV or a radio show. But they put it on the internet. It was 2 or 3 hours, about 2 hours long. But in the middle of it, he was talking about how Rome, they didn't just set up the religious narrative the way the churches conduct things now. They also set up the scientific narrative. Because I forgot about that. In earlier years, around the Renaissance time, if a person believed something other than the church, they got killed for it. If you had a scientific mind and you said, well, this is that, and it really didn't happen this way, you were considered a heretic and you got killed. Well, they had the power to do that because they were in league with the king. And everything, the church set up the king. The king was in league with the religious order. Now, kings come and go, but the religious order is stable. It's, you know, that was recognized. Now, Rome, the Roman Catholic Church is, according to his research that I listened to, it's not just Christianity. It's a blend of other religions already. And Christianity was the most powerful. But the citizens of Rome you had every religion known to man in the citizenry, you know, the citizens. That's why our holidays, such as Easter, the word Easter itself comes from the word Ashtaroth, has nothing to do with the Passover, has nothing to do with Jesus. And here we are celebrating Easter on the Resurrection Day, which is the Passover. And if you ask any American child, what is Easter? Oh, that's the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Well, what they did to satisfy everybody, they blended the teachings of Ashtaroth with the teachings of Christianity, and they celebrate Ashtaroth on Easter. So now we got a problem. Most people don't know this, and they don't know why Easter is Easter. They don't know about Ashtaroth. And the same thing with Christmas. That's on the winter solstice, December 25th. And that was considered the winter solstice, the longest day of winter. So now we're celebrating Jesus on the pagan winter solstice. You see what I'm saying? So on. And now, I thank God that he don't judge. He loves us all. And we know that Jesus was born, and we know what day he rose from the dead, and we know when the Passover is. And I thank God for it. People still get saved, and they don't know all the dark things. But once you set something in motion, it's kind of like naming a city. Everybody knows that that's Birmingham in Alabama, named after Birmingham, England. For centuries now, it's been Birmingham. For centuries to come, it's going to remain Birmingham. Once you set something in motion, it stays there. So a thought, a concept, an order. Once it's set in motion, people learn it. They understand it that way. And you can't tell them any different. Now, the Word of God will clear up all myths if you study it long enough. You'll start seeing patterns and where you can find all these things in the Bible. How one thing caused another thing to happen. And you'll see patterns. Once somebody sets something in motion, it stayed that way. It takes light to undo darkness. That's why Jesus said, let your light therefore shine. Now, if we're going to, either we're going to be about God's business or not. And we can. But this is one thing you have to do. We don't just take in the light. We also take out the trash. If you have a good job and you got your new house and you're putting nice furniture in it and you're making it the way you always wanted it to be. Now, when you first move out and you're struggling and you start building your life, you get what you can. Sometimes most people sleep in the bed that they don't really like. That's what they could afford at the time. The furniture that they have, somebody gave it to them. It was somebody else's dream at one point. But I had furniture that I hated for years. And I told my wife, I said, you know what? We need to get new furniture, but I don't want to take any more furniture. I want to select what we really want. And until we get the house like we want it. Because I couldn't go out and buy furniture, paying child support and doing the radio broadcast. I had to wait until I could afford things, which is fine. Man don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's not about what you have. It's about what you do with what you have. But as I do better, I buy the kind of furniture that I really want. But I'm not going to leave the kind of the furniture that I didn't want in the house. It's got to go. It's going to the confinement shop. Or, if it's bad enough, it's going to the dump. We have to receive the word of God. This is why I'm saying that. We have to receive the word of God and receive it and use it in our life and throw away the trash. The words of Satan, the thoughts of Satan, the concepts of Satan, the things that shouldn't be. And that's what Jesus is saying. Do the things that you're doing is right, but don't neglect the things that made you come to me. Don't forsake your first love. So when that's in place, when your first love in place, a lot of things are going to be in place. When you see it receiving the word of God and intelligence from the Holy Spirit, you're being guided in the truth, you're paying attention, and you're listening. Now, some people are guided in the truth. They see what God is saying, but they don't embrace it. They don't receive and embrace it. And so the devil steals it and they don't have it anymore. So if the Holy Spirit comes to you with something, that goes on. That's your top priority. Out of everything you're praying for and want to do, what the Lord brings to you, my friend, that's your highest priority. That's what you latch on to more than anything else. And learn from it. And ask questions so that with the intent to do it because you love God and you want to obey Him. This is where sincerity comes from. This is where the correct change of course comes from. We need changes of course. Sometimes we are wrong in our conceit, in our concepts, in our even in our integrity. Sometimes, even though we have integrity towards what we believe, we sincerely believe it. We know we're right, but it's wrong. Now, only the Holy Spirit can show you in His love these things. And when He show it to you, don't kick it out. Change your mind. Change the process. Change the way you see things. How do you see what you're looking at? And when the Lord is with you, He give you His concepts, His thoughts. Now you're able to judge something that's good and the things that are bad and shouldn't be. You see it for what it is. I taught my children, I said, don't be so surprised at the world. Everything sounds good from a certain point of view. You can put polish on dirt. Well, not necessarily dirt, but a car that's junk. A car that's junk, it has a good paint job. You can polish it up, and the motor's barely running, the transmission's barely pulling. But it looks better than the one that's dirty. And people will gravitate to the one that looks good. But wise people will drive it first. That's how life is. You the things that I believe is truth, the things that I receive when I go in the Lord's presence, no matter how wonderful it is to me, I lay it on the altar. I learn. This is why I do this. The Lord said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways. Now, when he said that, I've been on a quest to receive correction. Receive. I use the word receive. Correction. Because I wanted correction more than a teaching that I believed in. Now, after he taught me that, I said, well, Lord, what about the way I think and the way I've been taught? I want you to show me where I'm wrong and where I'm right. I said, so I'm going to ask you dumb questions sometime. Now, there's no such thing as a dumb question. But what I was doing was asking the Lord about things that I received as truth. Because the Holy Spirit can only sanction truth, not lies, not false concepts, not poor teaching. And sometimes teaching that gets a lot of amens is just a doctrine of the devil. Or a seducing spirit to keep us off track. And I can point things out all day. I mean, when they say healing went out with the apostles, that doesn't even make any sense. What are you going to tell a couple? They got a child that has jaundice or something. Well, healing went out with the apostles. You're just going to have to do the best you can and hope she don't die. That's terrible. That doesn't make any sense to a God that put all that effort into saving your life. And now he can't heal it because the apostles died. That doesn't make sense. But that's what they were teaching. That didn't come from Jesus, so it had to come from Satan. It's just a doctrine of the devil. But when you study the word, everywhere Jesus went, people are getting healed. Now how would that couple feel if they really believe what they were told, and then they study the word, and see people getting healed? If they read long enough, they'll say, well, Lord, I want you to heal my daughter. Because the light of God's word is going to illuminate their mind, their heart, and eventually their mind. And they're going to override their doubt. And their daughter's going to get healed. And then they're going to look back at that church that told them they had to live with jaundice. And say, well, they just don't know what they're talking about. And then when the evangelists come to town, they go to the tent meeting, they see other people get healed. Guess what church they're going to go to? They're going to the one that preached the word. Like I did. I met Mom Powell. I learned about the Holy Spirit while I was a Methodist. And then I wanted to know about the Holy Spirit. But I didn't know anybody that taught like Mom Powell. And then I found out Terrence went to a church like that. And Terrence Givens is the reason he got out to me about receiving the Holy Spirit until I received the Holy Spirit at Blaney Ruff's house. And I went to, I was in the band with Keith and Ruff. And I received the Holy Spirit in their basement because Terrence Givens kept out to me about receiving the Holy Spirit. And Chris Lucas did receive the Holy Spirit. He was an Italian Catholic. He went to the Church of the Nazarene after he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he lived the life and he walked the walk and he talked the talk. And every time I had a problem understanding something, the Lord had him to clarify. He used him to help me. He was like a pastor to me. Now, we're the same age. But he got saved a year before I did. But he went to a good church that taught the word, and he was dedicated. He had that kind of love that he went into the Lord's presence and learned. See, you can learn a lot from everyday people. Now, I mentioned their names. They're nobody to you. But these are people that I knew that loved the love of God. They didn't have a great big church somewhere. They didn't come from Texas, Oklahoma, or even California. They were right here locally. And they had good local pastors. And then I got in on it. So I told my dad about it. He said, yeah, that's true. But it don't take all that. He had been, when he got saved, he was taught by Methodists. If he had got taught by Pentecostals, he would have been different. Things would have been much different. But the doctrine that he received first, he tried to stick to it, just like most people do. And I understand that. If you really believe something, you're going to stick with it. You're going to. He was faithful to his conscience. But you can be faithful to your conscience and still be wrong scripturally. And that was more to be known about this. And if I'm going to dedicate my life to the Lord, I'm not. Sometimes I can't just agree with people because they're kin to me or because I love them. I love my dad. I'm still standing on his shoulders. His prayers got me this far. But you have to move along with Jesus. No offense. Now, when he's in heaven now, and I'm sure he saw that. He can see people in heaven. They're a cloud of witnesses. They can see what we're doing. If they really are clouds of witnesses, like Paul said, and they see the way you conduct your life and the things, miracles have happened in my life because I obeyed him. I go to a good church where I learn the word. People love God. They're sincere, and they obey him. And that's why miracles happen. But you know, I said, Lord, I want to. Before I came to the church I go to now, I said, Lord, do you have anybody that'll follow you? I got so frustrated with the status quo. Because when you're learning better, you see things for what they are, and you say, wait a minute, it's a better way to do this. Do you have anybody that want to know you like I do? And I'm not nothing against them, other churches that I knew. They didn't go as far as I thought they could, but I learned from them too, and they were good people. But I did get frustrated at the status quo, the doubt, the unbelief. I've seen preachers preach excuses, and I told them in the Sunday school when I went to that church, I said, look, I don't amen excuses. If it's not the word of God, I will not say amen. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Sometimes you have to be frank with people. And the Lord told me that a few years ago. I don't like to do that, but it was like to wake people. Look, either we're going to follow God or we're not. Sometimes we have to make adjustments. I have to make adjustments. We all do. Because we know in part. We begin to know in part, but we can learn anything. And whatever we learn is not without a fight. You gotta win a battle to learn and receive some things. You have to put Satan in his place. That's why you have to not only receive what God is saying, but take out the trash. You know, I'm redoing my house like, you know, we're doing it like we want it. We're buying furniture that we want. And so I want to pick it. And, you know, if somebody got something, I said, nope. I told my wife, I said, don't. We don't want nobody's furniture. Let's just buy the kind of furniture that we want. Or we got to at least agree on it. Because I don't like too much stuff in the house. I want, in other words, in my spirit, I want the things of God only, not Satan's junk. In my heart, I want God's word, not Satan's word, not his thoughts and concepts, not his deception, his lies that easily beset us. Now, Jesus had to help people make all these adjustments, and he did good doing so. You know, even the trash in the kitchen garbage can, you have to get that out of your house if you want it to smell good. That's why hold on to temper tantrums and things that hold you back? Why hold on to bad habits like not studying the word? Not praying. We have the power to pray in the Holy Ghost and bring down strongholds nationally. We can cause the people, the underground church in China, through prayer, we can cause them to rise to the top and be the head of the nation. But that won't happen with people that are not sincere, disobedient, and they've fallen out of the love of God. That will only happen through... See, authority only works... through people who submit themselves to the Lord first, then they take authority over Satan, and then Satan runs from them. We can put the evil, tyrannical, God-hating people in China and the leadership in Iran, we can move them out of the way and destroy, pull all them strongholds down and pray for the underground churches to arise. But first, we have to stop thinking it's stupid to even try it. It's just like tornadoes. When the Lord told Mr. Austin, you have the faith to stop that tornado that was about to tear up Washington, D.C. back in the 80s. I think it was 89, I don't know, 88, maybe even 90. And so he took authority over it and the storm didn't hit. Well, when he told me that, I said, well, it's not stupid to try. Now, I didn't say in my mind in those days that it's stupid to try something like that, but I would not have done it. I would have been like most Christians, just let the storm do what it'll do. But after that, I started rebuking storms, and I've had success rebuking storms because we have authority over the earth. We have authority because God gave it to Adam, and we're made in his image, and Jesus gave us all the power. He said, all power on heaven in heaven and earth is given to me. And I give you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Even the satanic dictatorships and presidents, they can be pulled down. But most people still think it's stupid to try because they didn't take out the trash. If you start taking out the trash of your life, the things that Satan started, the fires that he set, the fiery arrows that he shot at you, you get rid of that junk. Now you can hear from God and do something about it. Now I got to close because we're terribly out of time, but we'll be back. Till next time.